Matthew 24, and we'll read from verse 4 to 25. And Jesus answered and said this to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you this in advance." Let's pray, huh? Father, we thank you, God, for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, for the words of Jesus, Lord, that are in Matthew, God. And Lord, today I pray, Lord, that it's not going to be my words, Father, that people hear, but really, Lord, it'll be your heart, God, from your scriptures, God, and from your spirit. I pray, God, that we will open ourselves to only to you, and that, God, will be diligent, God, in seeking your truth in your word, that, God, we can renew our minds and transform it, Lord, through the understanding of the things that you say to us, God, and the letter of love that you've presented to us, God. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the chapter in and of itself is actually quite self-explanatory. There isn't really so much that in here that's necessarily a mystery or whatnot. And so what I really felt like God was really speaking to me through the scripture, I'm going to share it with you, but it wasn't so much necessarily about the person of the Antichrist, right? It wasn't necessarily who I believe it's going to be and, you know, whether it's already here and all these things. But I feel like what God is sharing with us is actually what's happening in today and even back in those days, but especially what I feel like is happening today and what I feel like God is sharing with me. Now, before I kind of tell you that, let me kind of go through the context. The context of Matthew 24, now Jesus had been spending time with his disciples. If we go back to 22 and 23, he'd been teaching them about who not to be like and who not to follow, right? Such as, don't be like the religious leaders, right? Woe to them, right? The only thing they care about is how they look when they pray on the streets, or the only thing they care about is their positions. And so don't be like them. Don't follow the people who teach you not to follow me. Remember, the religious leaders were the ones that took people away from Christ, right? They were ones that taught them Judaism. The laws that we've given to you are the only way to get to Christ. And so Jesus is sending this commentary about now the worldly example of not who to be like or who not to be like are like these Pharisees. And then he finishes teaching them about the Antichrist, right? This is who you see now. This is not who you should be like. But in the days to come, there will be someone who will say they are me, or they represent me, or they represent the Father, and they will try to, and verse 23, this is the scary part, right? Verse 24, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Jesus is saying, who are the elect? The elect are the Christians. They were the disciples, those who have chosen God, right? Or those whom God has chosen. I don't want to get into, you know, the Calvinist or Reform. I'm not here to get into that. But the idea of the elect is those who belong to God in Christ, okay? But verse 24, Jesus is telling us, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Okay, even the elect. Now, what does that mean to us? Okay, what is the relevance? First of all, we have to understand, in order to draw relevance, what the Antichrist is, okay? If we were to read this passage and we were to understand what Jesus is saying, really what the Antichrist is, if we were to do a little bit of study as to the Antichrist, he's supposed to come, right? In Revelation, it talks about he's going to come. In fact, how he's going to deceive us is, or whatever the case may be, right? How he's going to deceive us is, in fact, he's going to even make it look like he's dead, and then he comes back to life, right? He's going to come and show you great signs and wonders and hope to point to himself as, I am the one sent by God. So what Jesus is telling us the Antichrist is really is a counterfeit to who Christ is. If Christ is good, the Antichrist is a form of good, or at least a counterfeit of what is good, right? If Jesus is perfection, Antichrist is going to be the counterfeit of that, and it's going to seem like it's the illusion of perfection, but really it is not the perfection. What's really interesting to me when I read this is, you know, I mean, to be honest, I still think this way, but I remember when I used to read this as a young Christian, I would think, how am I going to be deceived, you know? I know what I know. I know who Jesus is, right? I know that I know, you know, that verse, the thing that we say here a lot. I know that I know that I know. I've heard God's voice. I've followed all these sort of things. How is it possible that I could be deceived by evil, right? Jesus tells us the evil, right? How is it possible that the elect are going to be deceived? We know Christ. We know God. We know good from evil. Okay? Well, this is how I believe that we're going to be deceived. You see, in the last days, the very thing that's going to deceive us, it's not evil that's going to deceive the elect. It's going to be evil disguised in a form of good that's going to deceive us. Okay? It's not blatant evil in and of itself, right? John Bevere in his book, Good or God, says this. He basically talks about it. It's not going to be the blatant evil in satanic rock concerts or sex orgies or things of that nature. Actually, it's going to be evil disguised as a form of good that's going to deceive Christians, okay? Now, how do we know this, okay? Scripturally, actually, there is backing to this. If we turn all the way back to Genesis 3, verse 6, okay? When the woman saw, okay, this is the context, right? Adam and Eve, okay, God had told them, do not eat of the tree of good and evil that is in the garden, right? And then after he places it in the garden, and now this is the account of Eve and the serpent coming to deceive her. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Look at this. What deceived Eve? Okay, this was the tree of good and evil, right? It wasn't like she walked up to the tree, saw an apple in perfect form, and the one that was rotting with worms in it and said, I want the one with the worm, right? It wasn't like she went to the tree, saw this beautiful fruit, right, and rejected the beautiful fruit and took the one that looked like it was gray, dull, about to fall off the ground, it was rotting. No, which was the one she chose? And why did she eat from the tree? Because of what? What did she choose? She chose the fruit that was good. She chose the fruit that was a delight to the eyes. She chose what was desirable. One that would make one wise. Eve did not choose what was evil. She chose what was evil in God's eyes. Remember, he said this was the tree of good and evil. Do not eat of it. She chose what was evil in God's eyes, but was deceived by the form of good that the fruit was made in. You guys see that, right? So what's going to deceive Christians is not the blatant evil. It's going to be the form of good, or at least what we think is going to be good. Not the sex orgies, not the satanic worship, but what we think is good. Now, I'm not here to make a political stance, okay? I'm not American. I am neither Republican nor Democrat, okay? I'm actually a Canadian, which I don't know if it's any better these days, right? Justin Trudeau, if you guys saw on his Twitter and stuff like that. Now, I'm not making a statement on LGBT or anything like that as well, okay? All I'm saying, though, is this. There are so many things that are happening in our world, okay? So many things, so many horrible things, so many things that are seemingly despairing, okay? And then we have political parties trying to stand up for specific things, okay? Whether it's because they truly believe, or maybe it's because they're trying to win votes of a certain class of people, or a certain, a belief that people have, right? And so they'll stand up for these things, right? Whether it's, you know, all lives matter, black lives matter, whether it's the LGBT, whether it's equality or gender equality, all these things. Now, these things are not bad in and of itself. They're great things, right? I don't want people to take me out of context and say, P. Ricky does not believe in gender equality. That's not it, okay? But we have to understand that we're starting to live in a world where good and evil have started to become very, very blurred. There are things where, in the name of justice, that things seem very, very, very good. But when you compare it to the Word of God, actually, in and of itself is not good. But it will seem good. Okay, it's because I'm not here to make any sort of statement about any of the issues. I want to be very careful, right? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, maybe about specific issues. But what I'm going to say is this. We need to test all things against the Word of God, okay? We need to test all things. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians 5, okay? First Thessalonians 5, 21 to 22, right? But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to which is good. Abstain from every form of evil, okay? Paul is teaching Timothy here, be careful. Prior to this, right, do not quench the spirit, do not despise the prophetic utterances, okay? He was teaching Timothy in this case, right, the prophetic is a good thing, okay? But even in the prophetic, which is good, you need to test against the Word of God. You need to be careful that what is being said to you is truly either from God or isn't. Okay, let me give you a very good example, okay? About 3 years ago, before I came into SP, and no names and whatnot, but this was, again, before I was a full-time minister, or before PSAM gave me an invite to come to SP. I'd already been serving in the church and in the well, and I've already gone up giving the prophetic messages and all these sort of things. And so there was a side of me that knew, like I've shared many times before, I knew that God was calling me into ministry at some point. And so I knew that. But there was no real clear direction as to what God wanted me to do. There was no invite from SP yet. And there was a part in my heart that was still reluctant, and I was still trying to fight this call of full-time ministry. One day, a seemingly very prophetic person. In fact, this person came to me, spent time with me, and actually not only this one time, this person ended up spending a lot of time with me through Skype, trying to disciple me, all these sort of things. But this person gave me a prophecy. Okay, and I'm going to share this prophecy with you. And it really doesn't matter. It was years ago. It really isn't. I shelved it. The timeline passed. It's not going to happen, right? At least not according to what this person was trying to say. But this person came to me, and you know, it's okay. I already said it. He said this to me. Ricky, One day you're going to pass through a church. This church is going to be in Hong Kong. However, your leader is not going to be Pastor Sam. It's going to be me. I'm going to apostle your church. And then there's going to be someone else in your life who's going to be the elder of the church. However, you cannot tell Pastor Sam this is going to happen. And this person tells, oh, we don't want to cause them, all these sort of things, right? And this church is going to be called Transformation Church. It's going to be in Hong Kong. Many are going to come, receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to prophesy over them. And it's going to happen in the next 10 months. Okay. Well, I got this, right? I'm generally quite calm when I receive these things. I'm like, okay. Well, my wife was with me. She didn't sleep for a week, okay? She was so distraught by this prophetic message. She could not sleep. I mean, for me, it wasn't so much that I wasn't distraught, but there was a part of me that was praying and said, if it was going to happen, God's going to do it, okay? If not, it's not going to happen, right? But Steph was so distraught, she could not, for the life of her, go to sleep. And so she kept waking me up, and so we really had to go into the scriptures. We had to pray about it. And so, let me tell you, everything about this prophetic word, it sounded so good. There was so much good in it, right? You're going to prophesy over people, right? I mean, I already knew that, okay? I mean, that's part of what I feel like God's given to me as a gift, right? People are going to come to know the Lord. Praise God, right? I'm glad that that's going to happen. Right? It's going to be Transformation Church. Everyone's going to come. Okay, that's great, okay? But don't tell P. Sam. Okay, that was the part that kind of got to me. Well, so we tested it against the scriptures, okay? Well, as we were praying, Hebrews 13:17 came to us, right? This is Paul. Okay, sorry, not Paul. Hebrews, we don't know the writer, okay? My mistake. But it talks, okay, and I don't remember it exactly, so let me go to it. I don't want to butcher the word in any way. It says this, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, I understand the context of the verse maybe a little bit differently, but Paul tells us there is a law of the letter of the law, but there's also what the Spirit is trying to speak to us. And I was praying, I felt like God was saying this. PSAM has been given to me not just as a leader of this church, but as an authority in my life. And as someone who I believe hears from the Lord, I sure as heck want his blessing if this was really to happen. And so what I felt God was saying to me through the word was, Ricky, this may sound good, but you need to check whether this is truly good, because if this was really from me, what I felt like God was saying is, I would want you to go to your leader, and I would want you to get the blessing from your leader, and not just to leave. And so this was the word, okay? And I, to be honest, at that time, I didn't necessarily judge whether it was good or bad, but I just shelled it. I said, okay, God, I believe that you've spoken to me through your word. And so I feel like that you're saying this is not from you, but so I'm just going to put it on the shelf, right, and see what happens, okay? 5 months goes by, okay? 6 months, 7 months. This person is still trying to Skype with me, by the way, trying to see what I'm going to do, right? 10 months, right? And now 3 years. Clearly, I'm not in no transformation church. Clearly, this person is not my apostolic leader, okay? It didn't come true. But man, let me tell you, I mean, besides the peace and part, everything about that prophecy was as good as it gets, was as God-centered as it could have seemed, right? It was everything that really, I believe, God, in fact, that's what made it so difficult. It was a counterfeit. It really was, in many ways, matching the call that I believe God had placed into my life. With the exception of that one thing, praise God, that person said it, and then there was a scripture to help me out. But it was a counterfeit. It was not God. And so, why is it important for us to test everything against the word? It's because the Antichrist is going to come, not in blatant evil. The elect is going to be deceived, not by, again, John Bevere, the orgies, the rock, satanic rock concerts, or the satanic worship, or, you know, are things that are very clearly contrary to the Word of God. But it's going to be evil in the form of good. Remember, Jesus tells us, right? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He tells us that those who follow me to pick up the cross, right? Those who do not hate your mother or father, right? You know, again, I don't want to butcher. That's what I remember. But basically, I came here to bring not division so much as in I want to divide people, but following me will in many ways cause you to have to separate yourself from the thoughts of maybe the world, maybe even those closest to you whose minds have not been transformed by scriptures. And so we need to make sure that everything that we do, right, whether it may seem good, maybe a promotion from work, maybe a justice movement even, right? I need to be very careful what I say here. But even things that may seem good, fighting after equality for all, right, in and of itself may seem good, but according to the world, in and of itself, the word in and of itself to God may not be good. And so we need a vibrant relationship with the Word of God, right? John Bevere talks about that. We need not only a immature understanding, but we need to understand in such a way that we can test all things so that we will not be deceived. Okay, and so let's close our eyes. I believe this is really the point of importance that I think God is, at least what I feel like he's placing into my spirit is this. What are you testing your life against? What are we testing the circumstances of our life against? Is it against what we believe is good? Is it against what we feel like is good? Is it what we hear and even just judge? I mean, in this way, I would even say, despite us being pastors, you should also test what we say against the Word of God. Because the only thing that is good, Jesus tells us, remember the rich young ruler calls him good teacher. Jesus tells us, who is good? Only God is good. And so I want to challenge us today. What are you living by? What is your compass? Is it just a moral compass? Is it a compass that has a lot of, you know, worldly thoughts and desires? And trust me, sometimes it is so easy for them to creep in. Because a lot of times our desires also cloud our judgment. And so I want to invite us today. Let's go before God. Ask him to test your heart. Lord, am I following your scriptures? Or am I following something else? You know, one of the last kind of, let me kind of end on this note. One of the things that not only P. Sam talks about, but many, actually quite a few leaders as I'm doing more reading. You know, John Bevere also being another one is starting to talk about is this. If we say we believe in the gospel, but pick and choose what we believe rather than following Christ, we're no longer following God. But we're now following a form of God made in the image of ourselves. So that we can live the lives not that God wants us to live, but the lives that we want to live. And so maybe the question we should be asking ourselves is, God, am I following you? Or am I following a form of God that's in myself? Or in the world? Or around me? And so as Janella leads us, let's pray. Let's really seek God. So that we will not be deceived by a counterfeit, either now or in the days to come. Let's continue to pray. Let's ask God to give us the strength to really be able to let ourselves go and to humble ourselves before His Word and Him, to really follow after Him in this way. And if we haven't, it's okay. God makes providence for us in that way through Jesus. And so what do we do? All we need to do is to repent, to go back to Him. And as P. Sam taught us in his message of repentance of dead works, not just to say sorry, but to now make effort to turn back and to change. So let's really pray. Ask the Lord to give us strength so that we can follow Him. I really feel like God just wants to speak this scripture over us. It comes from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world may be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I really feel like God just maybe wanting to lead us into a time of prayer. And so let's forsake our usual prayer today. But I really want to encourage us, let's go before God. I really feel like God wants to pour His love into our hearts, to remind us that not only is He good, but that He's already proven Himself good through the death of His Son, that He's proven Himself trustworthy to us. And so let's just take this morning and spend some time to thank the Lord for not just for Christ, but for the love that He has for us. And in that way, let's really motivate our hearts so that we can continue to walk after Him. So let me just pray for us. Father, we thank You, God, that You are good, Lord. And not just good in the word of good, but intrinsically good. Meaning You are good whether we believe You are or not. It means You are good and You have value and worth, Lord, whether the world believes it or not. whether our friends, our professors, our bosses, believe it or not, you are still good. And so, Lord, we just want to bring you praise. Lord, we want to lift you up. We want to say, God, that there is no one worthy of our praise except for you. Nothing is worthy because nothing is good in comparison to you. David in his Psalms, "For I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you." And so, Lord, we have no good besides you. Help us, Lord, today to see that truth even more greatly. And so, Lord, I ask that you'll bless my brothers and sisters. I ask, God, that you will lead them, Lord, in the path of truth, that they will not be deceived, God, by the evil one, God, or even a form of good, or evil that is disguised as a form of good, but only to follow you. And so, Lord, will you bless their hands, bless their minds and their spirits, their souls. I bless, Lord, their spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit, to guide their hearts and minds to you. So we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you, God.